It'll make a good story later. That's what we tell ourselves when situations go comically awry. Enter Yelp and other online forums. When one bad dining experience turns into a scathing review on Yelp, it can become fodder for entertainment. But can it also affect a restaurant's business? I'm Gina Kaufman. Coming up on Central Standard, we'll meet with a chef who participated in a live reading of bad Yelp reviews. He'll talk to us about how these reviews do or don't affect his craft. Later in the hour, we'll hear from a food historian about the role of food in shaping the outcome of World War I. That's ahead on Central Standard, right after this news. Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. Last night, in an unassuming little bar in Kansas City, Kansas, three of the city's most celebrated chefs performed a live reading of their restaurant's worst Yelp reviews. It was a grassroots benefit for a charity, and the crowd was composed mostly of family, friends, and service industry insiders. Reading your worst reviews out loud in front of even a small friendly crowd requires an unusual blend of confidence and humility. For that reason, we are grateful to Howard Hanna, owner and chef at the Rieger, as well as Sava, for his willingness to relive the experience in the studio this morning. He's joining us to talk about how online customers' review affect his craft and quite possibly at times his well-being. Hi, Howard. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Gina. It was great seeing you at 403 last night.
So how vigilant are you in checking out what people are writing about you and your restaurants on Yelp? Is that something that matters to you?
It definitely matters. I think when we were brand new, I would check every day or maybe even a couple times a day. And now, you know, as you build up hundreds of them, it's hard to get that upset or that excited or happy about any individual review. But at the same time, I do check them pretty frequently. I'd say a couple times a week.
So how does a good or bad review affect you personally and professionally?
Well, we've been open 3.5 years, and I think that's definitely changed over that time. When it started out, I took everything very, very personally. And, you know, it hurts to read, you know, that something that you've poured yourself into and tried really hard to create, in fact, worked your whole life to create, and to hear somebody, you know, just make fun of it or really hate it or miss the point of it is hard to read. At this point now, it's easy to kind of dismiss and laugh at the really terrible ones. And there's so many, the vast majority of them are positive. It's really the ones I pay the most attention to now are kind of in the middle, the 3-star reviews that say, I really wanted to like the place. Some things were good, but I had a problem during my experience. Those I take really seriously, and I think they're usually right and they're usually pretty legitimate. So we try to learn from those and kind of ignore the 1-star reviews that came in wanting to hate us.
Well, when you see one of those 3-star reviews that has a lot of praise with a nugget of criticism, has there ever been, so you've mentioned that is something you take to heart. Is there something that you've changed at your restaurant as a result of one of those middle ground reviews?
Nothing too specific. I mean, that we make a change in reaction to a review. There are certain instances where someone will describe an exchange they had with a member of our staff. And at that point, it might be, you know, that we can look up who, okay, this happened last night. We can see who their server was, talk to that server and ask if they remember it. And then, you know, maybe coach them through, you could have worded this another way, or, hey, if we were out of this wine, here's what you should have recommended. It's a way to be able to teach and train and keep, you know, improving our staff. But bigger issues, it's not if it comes from one review, it's if you hear it over and over and over. And I think, you know, for the Rieger, but definitely other restaurants in KC, I think when you hear every single review, good or bad, mentions that it's too loud, you probably need to do something about it. And so we've added some soundproofing things and tried to do things to soften the sound. It's a high ceiling, hard surface room that we're in. And so it was very loud at first. And we had definitely reacted to reviews and tried to improve that.
How do you think that people in Kansas City, for the most part, get their information about what is a good restaurant to check out and what's someplace to avoid? Do you think that these online review forums are a primary source of information on that, or is it something else?
I really don't know the answer. I think in my mind, it's more word of mouth, but I think I kind of live in a close-knit and tight community that is talking about food all the time. So for us, a friend's recommendation means a lot more probably than reading something online or in print. I don't know, though, for the average Kansas Cityan, I think Yelp may be the most important, but I think some of the others are very useful for business travelers or people on vacation here. I think that at that point, you know, looking at other ones, TripAdvisor or Facebook reviews, or definitely OpenTable reviews for restaurants that use OpenTable as a reservation system. Those are, I think, probably really helpful in getting new guests in from out of town.
Well, do you think that Kansas City Yelp reviews, do you think that there are enough of them for any given restaurant that the sort of outlying reviews get subsumed into like a larger pot, as it were? Or do you think that we need to be using it more in order for it to be more representative?
I do think that the longer you're in business and the higher profile a restaurant is, it definitely averages out nicely and is probably a pretty accurate, you know, representation of where you're at. When we first opened, though, you can get, you know, 4 or 5-star reviews in a row and one star, and that drops your average so significantly that it's really easy for, you know, an outlier to skew the whole result. So I think that over time they average out, and people using it, you know, to get a few suggestions and at a quick glance, hey, this place averages 4.5 stars. It's got to be pretty good. I'll go with that rather than reading, you know, 350 reviews and picking out the worst ones to believe.
Yeah. Well, we want to know from our listeners how Kansas Cityans decide which restaurants to check out and which to avoid. Do you use Yelp, word of mouth? Do you read professional restaurant reviews? Why do you trust who you trust? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We'd also like to invite into the conversation Darnell Holloway. He's Yelp Senior Manager of Local Business Outreach. Darnell, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Well, I don't know if you heard the premise of last night's event where a few chefs got together and did a cathartic live reading of their worst Yelp reviews. And something that came up a few times, I would say, was a review that had some just blatant kind of inaccuracy in it. And the chefs sort of taking advantage of this moment to respond. How do you deal with people wanting to be able to respond and either correct incorrect information, such as criticism of a menu item that perhaps is not served at that restaurant, things like that? What kind of opportunity do people other than the reviewers have to respond to a reviewer?
Absolutely. Well, every business is actually given access to a free set of tools where they can respond to their reviews either privately or publicly. And the businesses that are consistently managing their reputation by using these free tools are really the ones that are having the most success. It's also important to point out that 79% of the reviews that are written on Yelp are 3 stars or higher. We find that for the most part, people do have an okay to good time with the businesses that they're reviewing. It is important, though, for chefs to understand that they're going to be looking at their own reviews a little bit differently than consumers are. And so, you know, I completely understand that if you get negative feedback, it can be really easy to take that to heart. But we know that consumers are looking at overall trends. They're just looking at what the majority of people are saying about a particular business, and they're using that information to make a decision. And also, just kind of to piggyback off of the conversation that you were just having, Nielsen recently did a study looking at user behavior on Yelp, and you know, they found that 89% of people make a purchase from a business that they found on Yelp within a week. But also, when Nielsen asked our users how they're choosing local businesses, review text was actually more important than overall rating of a business. So people are actually looking for specific things. So, for example, if I'm looking for a great sushi restaurant, I might be looking for reviews that mention you know, specific kind of role that I'm interested in. So there's a lot of different ways that consumers choose businesses, but they are turning to Yelp in large numbers to make that final buying decision.
What do you think is different about the kind of information you get on a forum like Yelp that is coming from the average consumer than what you get if you were just to look at local newspapers and check out what their professional critics have to say?
Yeah, there's certainly a place for both professional critics as well as consumer reviews in this day and age. And, you know, people get a lot of useful information from consumer reviews. A food critic may have a certain taste that might be different from mine, whereas if I go to Yelp and I look up a business, I can see reviews that my friends have written for a particular restaurant. And that can really be a useful tool for me as a consumer because I get the full perspective.
Can you explain the model for this to us a little bit? How does it? How do different markets use this tool differently?
Yeah, well, you know, in Kansas City specifically, we've had our community manager, Matt Iman, there for over 2.5 years now. And so that's really our model is we focus on building a local community in every market that we have a presence in. And so Matt actually hosts events regularly with Yelp users and also provides exposure to a lot of the great local businesses in Kansas City. And, beyond that, I think it's really important to point out that that's what makes Yelp a little bit different than a lot of the other review sites out there is we have a very strong community component, and we tend to value reviews that come from more active members of the Yelp community.
I wonder, Chef Howard Hanna, if you have any questions for Darnell Holloway, your opportunity to ask Yelp about Yelp.
I think I understand pretty well how it works, and I do appreciate that there's tools available to us as business owners to either respond or, you know, do things to, you know, get the most out of it. I think I have a basic understanding of that. Really, I just kind of would like to take a second to say, you know, our event last night at 403 Club was definitely poking fun at our negative reviews and at ourselves for sure. But at the same time, I don't think any of us were attacking, you know, Yelp in specific or online reviewing in general. You know, there's definitely a place for it. And whether we like it or not, it's a really important part of our business. So I don't think anybody was, you know, attacking it or wanting it to go away. It's just, you know, it is something that's part of our lives, and it was a way to, like, take a funny look at it and be able to, you know, discuss it in a way that we don't normally.
Well, Darnell.
Absolutely.
Just
to jump in, but to your point, too, I mean, I think at the end of the day, Yelp is really just a valuable tool for businesses to gain more customers. And so I actually took a look at some of the numbers for the three businesses that were involved in the event last night. So you have the Rieger, Blue Stem, and Port Fonda. And I just thought it was interesting to see that in the last 12 months, Yelp has been responsible for those three businesses combined for 759 mobile calls from our app to those businesses, over 1,400 directions being mapped out to those businesses, and then also 480 mobile check-ins. So people are looking at this content, and then they're using that information to make a buying decision, and we can see the hard numbers are indicating that those three businesses are actually benefiting quite a bit from their presence on Yelp.
Thank you. We'll take it.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Darnell.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That was Darnell Holloway from Yelp. He was just with us by phone responding to our question, kind of, which is, how do you use Yelp? And are you a Yelp reviewer? If so, what motivates you to write your reviews? Do good dining experiences or bad dining experiences have more weight with you? We'd like to hear from you about why you do it and what you think is important about the activity. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And Howard, we were just talking about the lighthearted live reading of Yelp reviews from last night. I wonder if you can give us a small taste of that experience now.
Okay.
And I want to start by saying I consider it incredibly brave to get on the radio and read one's own bad review. So, we hope that people will also look into the good ones.
Thank you. All right. Well, here's a one-star Yelp review we got from Stella M. from Casey Moe. I'm just going to read the beginning, but it's a lengthy one, and there's a lot of she pretty much hates us a lot. All right. Terrible. Just terrible. That's pretty much all I can describe my experience here. Terrible service. Terrible food. A menu that doesn't accommodate non-meat lovers. There's nothing good I can say about this restaurant. From the disparaging comments made by the waitstaff to my dinner companion, to the fact that they substituted items on my order without telling me, to the dry lump of yesterday's cardboard that they claimed was cornbread, it was seriously the most poorly executed $100 meal I've ever had.
Okay, so let's parse this out one item at a time. Okay, first of all, when you hear something like disparaging comments made by waitstaff, What is your response to something like that, especially if you've witnessed the interaction and perhaps, I mean, I could imagine a boss, someone who's in charge of a staff feeling a little protective maybe.
Definitely. When you hear something like that, you want to find out what happened. And, you know, I definitely take it seriously and want to respond to it. So disparaging remarks by a server, if that's true, that's a really big deal. And that's a really big problem for me. At the same time, we're a small restaurant. Our staff is my family. Like, they go to bat for me every single day. They really believe in what we're trying to accomplish, and they buy into my vision, and they really work to represent me as best they can. So I trust them a lot. And in this case, I knew exactly who it was, both the server and the patron. And so I was able to go to him and ask him. And when he told his side of the story, I believed it.
There's a piece of this story from this particular night that does kind of explain the substitution issue. I learned last night about a crucial piece of information about this particular evening.
Yeah, well, I wish she would have included the information because I think it would help people to understand it better. But it was during February a year ago, during the horrible snowstorms, the night that they called it thunderstorm or thunder snow.
Yeah.
That was the headline.
Snowpocalypse.
Yes. It was during that, and the Rigo chose to stay open, and we did it with the skeleton crew. I didn't want people coming from far away or any members of our staff to come in if they felt, you know, unsafe traveling to get to work. But at the same time, some people wanted to work and wanted to be there. And we have a really good following in our neighborhood, and a lot of people that live around us could walk there and have some place that was open and some place that would feed them that night. And so it was important to us to provide that for our neighborhood. And we did. But my business partner, Ryan Mabee, ran the bar. I was the one and only person in the kitchen. I didn't have a dishwasher and I didn't have any cooks. It was just me. And we ran with one server and one hostess. We thought that was enough. We did a limited menu and we thought we'd see, you know, 15 or 20 of our friends there. But it turned into an event. We ended up doing, I think, 81 covers that night. And that's a busy weeknight anyway with the full staff. But for our skeleton crew, that was very difficult. So in general, it was a really great atmosphere. Everybody has fun on a snow day. It was kind of a party vibe in there, and it was really fun. And I believe out of those 81 guests, 80 of them had a really good time. and we let Stella down, and it happened.
Do you think that for a reader, knowing that there was a giant snowstorm affects how a person would interpret, say, someone not accommodating substitutions or a side dish being changed for the evening?
I would hope so. You know, we didn't get deliveries that day. You know, we weren't ordering a lot of things because we weren't sure if we were going to do any business over the next 3 days, and I didn't want to be sitting on a lot of product. You know, everything was hard that week, and we really did the best we could, and it was a wonderful night. I personally, getting to cook it all myself was really fun and satisfying, and seeing so many of our friends and regulars and neighbors there was an awesome experience. And then to read this, you know, a few days later was kind of shocking.
And it does seem that the comment about cornbread has stung a bit.
Yeah. Last night, for our Night of Catharsis event, I made cornbread just to kind of share with my friends and show that I can make cornbread.
We do have a caller who is curious about what Yelp is just from the beginning. And I apologize to caller Mike for not explaining that a little bit better. Howard, could you explain what Yelp is?
I wish Darnell was still on. He'd probably say a lot more concisely. But yeah, basically, it's an online forum where you create a profile and you have a name, a picture if you want it, and a little bit of information about yourself. But then you're able to post reviews on, I think, any type of business. And they get sorted by that business. So if you're looking for a restaurant, you can look it up specifically and read all the reviews that have been posted on Yelp.
Well, let's hear from Steve in Blue Springs. He called 816-235-2888. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
What can you share with us?
Well, I am a Yelp user, and I travel nationally. So what I am generally looking for is non-chain food. And I find that Yelp is a really good place to find it. The thing I'd like to comment on is the way that I use the reviews is that if I'm looking for a restaurant and it has less than 10 reviews, I'm going to go in and, you know, look around just to see whether they're all home reviews, so to speak.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I'm sure there are people that get their friends and family to post to improve their scores initially.
So what are the red flags that let you know that's happening?
Well, the red flags are just if we don't live in a perfect world. Things happen. And sometimes you learn a lot from the less than perfect reviews that are not all negative. You know, it shows the human side of that business. And, you know, if I see one really bad review, that is not a deal breaker. And also I look at the date. You know, if the date's a year ago, that is not current information. That's stale.
Stale like cornbread.
Yesterday's cardboard.
Like, well, I didn't hear the whole cornbread conversation, but yeah.
You didn't miss much.
Perception is reality for people, and, you know, their perception didn't match yours. So, but the other thing that I do is if a business has got 30-plus reviews, I'll generally take a look to validate which entrees people really liked or mentioned, because Yelp does identify that certain things were mentioned in a certain number of reviews, and I have had really good results in finding restaurants out of town that, you know, I wouldn't have gone to.
Well, thanks.
Without the Yelp.
Thank you so much, Steve. And I wonder, Howard, do you see a lot of out-of-town travelers who find their way into your doors because of this service?
Definitely. I think, you know, for people in Kansas City, I think, you know, we have good word of mouth and we have good local press, you know, that they've heard about us, you know, through the printed reviews that are professional or from friends or whatever, or all the events we do, charity things and things like that, that get our name out there. But it's definitely very helpful for out-of-town people. And I always appreciate it when they tell us when they come in, you know, that I heard, you know, I saw you on Yelp and I, you know, came because of that or whatever. It's nice to be able to track how we're getting this business and how they're hearing about us.
Are there other online forums that you find particularly influential?
I think there used to be a lot more focus on real discussions where people could post in threads and respond to each other and really ask questions, and things like eGullet and Chowhound and things like that, I think were kind of for more people that were, I guess, more in-depth and serious about food to have real discussions. And I kind of liked those. But that's largely gone away. I think that Facebook really kind of put a damper on those things. And I also think Yelp did. I mean, Yelp, I think, seems to be the dominant one, but there's definitely Facebook reviews, I think, do get looked at. TripAdvisor, Urban Spoon, and certainly OpenTable. OpenTable, to me, is the most useful because it tracks information from people who actually made a reservation through their system. And because of that, I can know for sure what night they were in. I can see what section we sat them in, who their server was. A lot of times, if they post within a day or two, I'll remember everything they had. And so if they are bringing up specific complaints, I can go back and ask, you know, my grill cook, hey, do you think there was anything off about the sauce on the chicken tonight? Can I taste it before we go into service tomorrow? You know,
interesting. So
yeah,
as
it's
far
a lot more specific.
As constructive criticism goes, something that's tracked by reservation is more useful to you as a chef.
Yeah, definitely.
That's interesting. Okay, let's hear from Mike in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How about
Great.
You?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to kind of recap on, to say that I agree with the previous caller on that. You know, if the review's outdated, you know, you can have 100 reviews, but if there's nothing recent, then that's what I'm going to pay attention to. I want to make sure that the service is still as good. And then I wanted to get Howard's intake on something, because I do use Yelp, Urban Spoon, Google Plus, the works on it, because I do know that Yelp, if the restaurant is not signed up with them, they sometimes won't post all of your positive reviews. They tend to lean more on the negative ones. So, how do you feel about that?
I actually wasn't aware of that. I don't know. Again, I wish Darnell from Yelp was still on with us and could answer.
Well, Mike, is there any? You mentioned that there are some other services that you also like to use. Is that something that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I use Urban Spoon a lot. I travel for my job a lot around just you know, the state, and both in Kansas and Missouri. So I'm on Urban Spoon a lot. I use Google Plus, and then I also use Facebook a lot, just because that gives you good insight to, you know, if you're networking around, you know, around the state, you find people that are in the same area, and you can just look and see what they think about stuff. So, Urban Spoon is my biggest one, and I'm not sure where they pull their reviews from, but that's one I definitely like, because no matter what you're in the mood for, you can just put that on there and then, you know, find what part of town you're in and just, you know, spin the wheel and see what you get.
Thanks, Mike. Well, Howard, you know, now that we're hearing about all these different forums, for you as a chef, I imagine that when you were learning your craft, this probably wasn't on the horizon yet. Has your sense of where you get really valuable feedback, has that changed at all with the advent of these kinds of forums, or are you kind of operating on the same model you always expected you would be?
I think everything's changed. You know, the things that I think are the most respected and the most serious are things like the Michelin Guide, and especially in Europe, but in the U.S. cities that it does cover, that's something I trust. I know what it is. I know the voice it's going to be written in, and I know that it's every year they come back and they eat at the restaurant multiple times. Also a professional reviewer for a newspaper that you can read their voice over time and begin to trust their taste or know that you disagree with their taste either way. I think that great food writing in press is, you know, something that I grew up with and really looked up to and understood. And I think everything has changed now. It happens so fast. You get food bloggers and people on Facebook and people on Twitter and everything else. Literally from the very first few minutes you open a new business, it's out there, and it's so much information and it happens so quickly. It's really hard for, you know, thought out and detailed and professional reviews to keep pace with that kind of competition.
Do you have, is there a way that you would recommend that the average customer who has a complaint or a bad experience, is there a way that you recommend dealing with that that's actually going to get your attention and make you sort of respect that feedback?
Thanks for asking that. Yeah, I'm always there. If you come eat dinner at the Rieger, you'll see me standing in the kitchen. I'm right there. I'm really easy to talk to. Just come talk to me.
That's the best way?
I can fix it then. If you tell me a problem, I can fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're not printing it out in the world for something that my grandkids can read online years from now.
Well,
just talk to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Howard Hanna from the Rieger and Sava, for talking to us about how online forums like Yelp affect you and your craft and the restaurant business in general.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you.
When we come back, we'll be hearing about food again, but this time food in history, how food affected the outcome of World War I. We'll be right back.